This is the Wikipedia Weekly Podcast, broadcasting live from Esinolario, Italy, from Wikimania 2016.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Wikipedia Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Lee, also known as User Fuzzheado on the English Wikipedia.
I'm James Forrester, JD Forrester. I'm on the English Wikipedia and quite a lot of other wikis.
I'm Derek Chan. I'm known by my real name, Derek Chan, on all Wikimedia projects.
Great, and if you hear that rumbling in the background, this is actually the bus departing Esinolario in Italy after the last day of Wikimania 2016, and we are continuing a tradition. I think we started in 2007 after Taiwan Wikimania, of kind of a postmortem and a reflection on a pretty amazing week of events here in Esinolario. And a lot of you probably know that this is one of the more unique conferences that we've had, where we're actually in an alpine village overlooking Lake Como, and we're actually in a bus going uphill or up the mountain to get out to the airport. So James, Derek, what were your impressions of this conference?
I'm pretty amazed by this conference. We basically hired out an entire mountain resort village and turned it into Wikimania. And from what we hear from the local mayor and other people around us, it seems that we have really transformed the village, and the WikiWay could really be a force for to make the world better, even at this level.
James?
I thought it was really interesting. I really enjoyed being in such a different kind of venue. The way that we've integrated into the village, in the way that it's not just that we've come to the venue, but we are actually the venue ourselves. We are the community, and the community are with us. And the local village was, I think, we were 77% of the people in Esinolario at the time. So it's really interesting. Lots of them came along to the talks, and it really changed the mood and the atmosphere. I appreciated it quite a lot.
And we also have some Italian attendees in the bus, and feel free to jump in at any time if you have any corrections or additions. But as James said, the proposal for this was pretty unusual in that it was basically saying this village of 700 to 800 folks want to host a conference that normally attracts 1,000 folks, and it would definitely not be a normal conference. It would have housing in people's individual homes. It would have meals all over the place in different small restaurants. And in the end, did it work? I think it did, which kind of was a great surprise to folks. What did you think about the venue in terms of splitting folks up and putting them in different restaurants by tickets?
I think it was a good idea. The whole point of Wikimania is to make people meet each other and talk and learn about the rest of the Wikimedia world. And I think it was a good idea that the randomization of tickets has brought people from different parts of the Wikimedia sphere together.
Yeah, I agree. Every day I was sitting next to new people who I'd never met before and introduced myself, and they would look at me in disgust and turn away sometimes. Other times they would actually want to talk to me, which was great. And giving people that kind of prompt to meet new people, it's very easy to form your little bubble, especially, you know, I've been to every Wikimania, as have you, Andrew, and, you know, there's a bunch of people who've been to quite a lot of Wikimanias who I say, oh, hi Bob, hi Joe, hi, you know, Samantha, it's great to see you again. But it's also important to meet new people and to learn what they're doing and absorb their cultures and kind of make Wikimania the great event it is. I think it really helped. I hope and I really look forward to doing it again in some form, at least in future Wikimanias.
Yeah. And in terms of splitting people into different houses, I think that was a good idea as well, because we each had local hosts and they really made us interface with the local culture and with the place. And I think in the beginning, as Andrew said, some of us were skeptical about 1,000 people going to a village of about 700 people. But when we arrived, we realized that it's a village of 700 regular inhabitants, and this whole village lives on tourism, which actually has a capacity of more than Wikimania. So in the end, it works out to be a good choice.
Yeah, for example, my accommodation was a brand new bed and breakfast, which had been established for Esinolario, and in fact, just today, as I left, they were starting to put in some of the railings against the cliff edge where the path up to the thing had been constructed. So, you know, everything was fresh, everything was, lots of places were really new and been really done up very nicely.
Yeah. I mean, right, and to paint the picture for folks who weren't at the village, I mean, most of this village are cobblestones that, I don't know, date back quite a bit, narrow passageways, but very charming, that most cars would never fit through. So there's definitely that local charm there. The bid specifically said that part of this was to leave behind a legacy, upgrading the infrastructure, electrical network, and physical infrastructure.
And also a cultural legacy. There's, I think, something 1,000 to 2,000 local high school students had lessons in English in the run-up to this over the last year.
Right.
In the next year, there's another year of the legacy project. They're doing collaboration, learning, open knowledge, transmission of cultural information around people, and having people absorb what it is to be a local and spreading that around, which sounds fantastic.
Right. I think did we cancel school for a week for the kids? We took over the schoolhouse, didn't we?
No, in school is over in Italy.
Okay, good.
Because of the climate, most of Italy is not able to send kids to school after the middle of June, so all the schools close at the middle of June.
Good.
And they reopen in September.
Great. So. And one of the things that we saw at the closing ceremony was they actually had a competition with students on how well they could upgrade Wikipedia articles in Italian, and it was pretty cool that Jimmy Wales on stage giving awards to at least 6 or 8 kids up there. I don't want to say kids, like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to, you know, not just have ourselves talk to each other, but to actually interact with locals.
Yeah, pretty much the ultimate WikiCup, I think you could say.
That's right.
We're pretty much transformed two towns, which are Esino and Lecco down the hill, into like two towns full of Wikimedians, because all the young people in those towns have been invited to a competition, and many, many of them have actually contributed to Wikimedia projects because of this.
Yeah, but it's interesting that they specifically said that they didn't want to give like t-shirts of one color to the locals and a t-shirt of one color to the Wikipedians. You walk through this town, it was all this bright aqua blue t-shirt everywhere. They could have been old folks, you know, who knew only Italian, it could have been young folks, and it was pretty interesting seeing that there was no distinction between out-of-town Wikipedians and local new ones, right? So that was kind of jarring, but also impressive that you walked through the town and everyone was wearing the same thing, right?
Although sometimes it made it a little challenging to find a volunteer who knew the area, and they're like, hi, you're wearing this t-shirt, do you know where this is? And like, no, I haven't eaten there yet. And you're like, oh, right, you're an out-of-towner like me. Whoops.
I think it's true that a lot of these volunteers were not even local necessarily, right?
No. Most of the students were from Lecco or Como, so the two main cities near to Esino. Actually, I spoke with a couple of students this morning, and they were very happy of the experience, absolutely saying that they learned more English in these 6 days when they had in the world school, and I can tell you that the school language programs are not very good in Italy, so
interesting.
They were really, really happy. Huh. But I mean, all the local population, basically when they learned I'm Italian, they were asking me, oh, are you happy? Is everybody happy? They were really excited about having us there.
Interesting. That was kind of an unintended effect, but it's glad to see that they like that English language engagement. Yeah. Interesting. So, if it's not obvious, this is up on a hill above Como, so actually it's very vertical. So as much as I enjoy things, it was quite arduous for the first 2 days for people who are not used to hiking up long hills. I actually felt my conditioning get much better day 3 and 4.
Yeah, the calf muscles on people flying back home, maybe they're not going to fit in the seats, but oh well. Yeah. It certainly, my bed and breakfast, I think, was like a kilometer out of town from the kind of the core of the hackathon area. And, you know, that was a good 30-minute hike downhill and a good 40-minute hike home at night, but you're going home, so you've got a reason to go uphill.
And for some of those folks, they gave flashlights too, specifically. Yes.
Yeah, there were some people who were so far out of town that they didn't have streetlights, which was, you know, adds to the adventure. And of course, the mystery and the majesty and the romance of being, you know, in a cool, beautiful alpine village in Italy.
So some of our attendees were put into the next village, I believe. And those are the ones who are given torches because they had to walk through the jungle, well, in a road that goes through the jungle to the next village. We also put up shuttle buses for them, although if you want to be more adventurous, they gave you the torch for the purpose of walking on your own. And some people do take up that option.
And for folks who have never been on narrow mountain roads, there's a reason why there's that honking back there, is that these roads are normally not wide enough for two cars, so they honk to warn a car coming the opposite direction that we probably have to negotiate a narrow road together in opposite directions. So that's the honk in the background.
And also, this is a coach weighing several tons, so get out the way.
We win.
Yeah. Public buses in this area actually have two different horns. One sounds like a danger horn that you normally find in a city. The other one sounds more like a phone ringing. And I find that a very nice invention.
So one's a precautionary one and one's a warning one or something.
So yeah, one's an identifier, which is the phone ringing, and the other's warning, which is the honk. But this particular bus that we're on now only has one normal honk, and which is why you hear us so much in this podcast.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about programming and content. What kind of things did you see that were interesting this year on the program?
So the most interesting thing I've seen this year is that the number of lectures has been dramatically cut down into three parallel tracks from, I think, the peak we got to was 8 parallel tracks in DC and Hong Kong. And one track in particular is actually aimed at newbie Wikimedians, and two tracks are half lecture, half discussion, in a sense that each lecture is meant to be 15 to 20 minutes of speaking by a leader and then 10 minutes of discussion. And those are called critical issues, where Wikimedians from different parts of the Wikimedia sphere will come and discuss a particular issue. And then there are three or four more discussion tracks which are just thematic. There's a leader, but there's an open floor discussion. So this move from a more traditional conference format where we get many, many parallel lecture tracks to a discussion-centered session system really shows the spirit of what Wikimania is trying to become.
Right. James?
One of the things that's always interesting about Wikimania is that there are some things that happen every year. There's always a presentation by Jimmy, generally at the Open. There's always some form of interaction with Wikimania kind of stalwarts, like the poor Q&A and things like that. But a lot of them had a different take on them this year that was in many ways a lot better. So, for example, instead of having, you know, watched in right in the morning after everyone's got drunk and got a hangover, an hour long, the board all stands on stage whilst people ask them as difficult questions as they can get away with. Instead, we had actual facilitated workshops discussing in depth for a couple of hours different topics around the board, with board members splitting up and going to different topics. Right. And I thought that was a really interesting way of taking it. And I think certainly it got a lot more attention and it got a lot more productive discussion rather than people just trying to air grievances without necessarily having the right mechanism to doing it, and not necessarily, you know, being the right venue. It seemed like a lot more participative and a lot more collaborative, and I think it was a great idea, and I hope we do it again.
Yeah, just the physical juxtaposition of like board members and community around a table is really important, versus, as James said, the tradition has been the board is on the top stage with the bright lights and the people in the audience have to sit and raise their hand before they can say anything. So just being in the even playing field.
My favorite one of those, if you remember, was the one we co-moderated in, I think, Alexandria, where we would translate the questions asked in slightly broken English into a slightly smoother question, but the board members sometimes didn't take the hint of like the please actually answer the question. You know, it's a stressful thing, and I think being a workshop also allows the board members to be a little bit less kind of on their guard of, ooh, I'm on camera and everyone's going to listen to me for posterity, and much more able to kind of be that frank and kind of communicating in community way that we'd like to see.
I mean, I think it's important to even just give the background of how this whole conference started, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. So it immediately started off with two great announcements. One was the naming of the Wikipedians of the Year. So it was Emily Temple Wood and Rosie Stevenson Goodnight. They're from the U.S., and they've done a lot for gender gap and gender gap work. So Rosie Stepp started Women in Red, trying to get red links to prominent women removed by creating articles. And Emily Temple Wood has made a lot of news. Anyone listening to this podcast probably has heard her before as a participant, where she has done this Wiki Women Scientists project, and she got a lot of media recently for fighting trolling by writing an article when people attack her online, which was pretty unique. So those two were the ones who got the Wikipedian of the Year award from Jimmy. And then the other announcement, which was kind of a surprise, I think even a surprise to folks who know a lot of what's going on, is that Catherine Maher, who's the interim executive director, was named the permanent executive director, which is pretty amazing. So that was the start of the conference, and there was a standing ovation, a lot of applause, and a lot of buzz. And that was quite a way to start off the conference with kind of a positive energy. At the same time, Christoph Henner was elected to be chair of the board, the new incoming affiliated selected board seat member of the board. And then Maria Zavdari was the vice chair, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of interesting to go right from day one, member of the board, day two, chair of the board. But Christoph has been, I believe, the chair of Wikimedia France for 9 years. So being the chair of a board, not this board, but a board, is not totally new to him. And I think the idea is at a time of change, the board wanted to have someone, you know, that the community appreciates has done this before, but also is from the community. And, you know, I've known Christoph for many years, and I look forward to him being chair. I'm sure he'll do great.
And just think about how much has changed in the last year since Wikimania Mexico in 2015. I mean, we've had, anyone listening to the podcast knows, turmoil within the foundation itself. And board members removed and appointed and removed again. But to think about what happened in just a few days of Wikimania really put kind of a positive energy in the community, saying that there's a person from the community that is respected as the chair. You have Catherine giving some more stability going forward in terms of what's going on. It's pretty amazing that those things happened all in 1 year, right?
One of the questions Catherine got asked was about the knowledge engine, previously discussed on this podcast at quite length. And I'm not really involved in knowledge engine, so I don't have anything professional to say about it. But it was very amusing that Catherine said, we should do some of it, and got a standing ovation. And given the tenor of the conversation to date on that, it was, you know, really pretty unusual, I think, and surprising that, to get that. And I think it's a sign of the trust and the hope that people have, and I look forward to seeing that executed.
Derek, you said you had something to add.
I was the person who asked that question, and I did it because I volunteer myself as an awkwardly brave person, nudged on by a number of other Wikimaniacs here, and it was very nice to have that response. And very interestingly, Catherine said, we should probably do some of it but call it a different name. And I think that sense of Christoph being the new board chair from a Wikimedian board selected seat, and Christoph being a new board chair, Catherine, an internal promotion into ED, and all this keeping the good bits, but let's not call it the same thing that caused the controversy, really shows us how determined we are to turn it all back to a community and make it a sort of collaborative effort, and want to move on from the conflict that we've had over the past year.
Right. I did not realize you were part of that, so thanks for letting me know.
The mole in our midst.
Right. As James alluded to, one of the cool things about the programming for this conference was that no session started before 10:30 a.m., except for one day. But 10:30 was the standard start. For anyone who's been to this conference, that's incredible, because everyone wants to go drink and talk 2 a.m. There were meetups at 9 a.m., so that was optional. Those were kind of more organic. But it's kind of cool that you really didn't feel you need to be anywhere until 10:30 a.m., which meant one session, then lunch, and then two sessions in the afternoon. And when this year continued a tradition of what was started in 2014 of having discussion tracks. And those are pretty open-ended in that you just have a facilitator and a note-taker, and people want to come. It's kind of a free-form discussion. And there are actually two simultaneous discussion tracks going on all the time. What did you folks think? Did you go to any of them? What did you think about the outcomes or the execution of those things?
So I went to pretty much almost idea. Almost all the things I went to were actually discussions. There was one about how we can help make articles nicer to read for people in different formats, especially mobile, but actually, you know, modernizing reading and what tools can we provide to editors so they can make that happen. There was also discussions about technology around citations, around how we can support citations without having too many, you know, and how many references is too many references. That's really interesting because these are topics that are very frequently matters of really serious disagreements inside the community. But the discussion format seemed to work really well to actually bring out the positive lines, the agreement, and the kind of areas for discussion that people have in a way that wasn't like people screaming and shouting at each other or threatening to have each other blocked, which is, you know, a step up from where we've been before. And hopefully we can continue that.
Great.
So I went to two discussion track sessions, one on Wikimedia Mobile, and that was really helpful because it was a chance for developers who are staff in Wikimedia Foundation to basically listen to community's wish list for next year. It really attracted participation from people who don't normally hang around on Fabricator and to let users of Wikimedia really tell the developers what they think are the biggest needs with mobile software at the moment. I also went to a session on the future of Wikimania, which has become a standard staple of Wikimania in recent years, and there are very many interesting suggestions and new pointers for where we should take this conference in the future.
Yeah, I guess we should jump into that at some point, but I was the discussion leader on that one, and it was a pretty full room. I think in the end, Lodovic, who should get a lot of praise for coming up with this concept and executing the organization of it, counted over 100 folks in that room, which was not a very big room to hold 100 folks. So I think the concern of a lot of folks going into this conference was that there was an Idea Lab grant page, which, if you have never heard of it, that's part of the problem, is that why is a discussion about Wikimania happening on an Idea Lab grant page? And there was a consultation that wound up with the majority of folks, slight majority of folks, favoring a statement that said we should have regional conferences and only do Wikimania every other year. And that kind of freaked people out ahead of this conference because it seemed like it was a done deal that Wikimania would not be every year, but would be every other year. And obviously for people going to Wikimania, this was quite alarming to them. So it was a pretty packed session, and I think we cleared the air a lot with Chris Schilling from the foundation, who came up to me actually in the first day of the conference and said, hey, if everyone's been out of shape about this, it's only a consultation, it's just a data point. And I said, well, you could do a lot of good by saying that at the beginning of the session, because a lot of people think that it's a done deal that Wikimania 2018 is not going to happen. So that really did help to have him say that at the beginning, and most of the discussion then could go the way of people chiming in with what they really felt was valuable about Wikimania and what its value was to the community. So what did you folks think? You both were there. What did you think were some of the interesting, or what was the sentiment of folks there? Obviously a self-selected crew.
The sentiment was we really like this sort of international conferences, obviously from people who actually came. but also we can't ignore the voice that we need more regional conferences. SJ came with the idea that we should do two Wikimanias a year, which was a bit of a surprise to everybody, but I think there is some sentiment of expansion and also that incorporating the idea of regional conferences into the idea of two Wikimanias a year. So that would be an interesting pointer for where we're going.
Yeah, I actually, to be, you know, a little out there, I would say that if you're a chapter and you have, you know, more than 10, 20 members, you should probably have an annual conference every year. You know, generally you'll need to have an AGM anyway, so take the opportunity to actually have a conference. And if you're in a region with other chapters, which almost all of our chapters are, they should look to have a regional, like, you know, continental conference every year, you know, maybe, I don't know, April-ish, so that there's enough time for ideas to bubble up into Wikimania, the global conference. But I don't think there's an either-or around that. And I think there was a lot of people in the room who weren't saying, oh, we don't need regional conferences, we need Wikimania globally. They were saying, no, no, we need both. The meeting people is the most valuable thing that we do in the movement, and it pays back dividends, and we really need to double down, to use a ghastly American expression, on how we meet each other and how we interact and how we make sure that that's not just a standing in a bar and getting drunk, but it's actually proper discussions that lead to decisions and lead to further discussions in other places, and communicating those ideas, communicating those concerns, and making sure that we all kind of come together as a global community.
I'll take issue with one little thing. You can have drunk and proper discussions the same time.
I said not just drunk in a bar. Very clearly, although I don't drink, a lot of other people do, and do at length at Wikimania.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in that. Most people, or many communities now, are doing Wikimania attending and a regional conference. It's not something that the construction of that consultation seemed to assume was going to happen. Like, oh, we got to choose one or the other. People are doing both, and in the US we're doing the third year in a row that we're doing.
So this WikiConference North America, recently rebranded from WikiConference USA, evil-eared listeners may hear, and that's going to be in San Diego, and that's going to have technical and community and strategic and planning aspects to it. So, you know, it's a little mini Wikimania for all of North America, for Mexico, for Canada, for the United States, for possibly other countries that consider themselves North America, although no one gives me, because I'm British, I don't understand these things. No one gives me a clear understanding of what North America means to everyone. Everyone has their own explanation. Anyway, whoever turns up, they will be welcome. But there isn't an equivalent for Europe. When I lived in London, there wasn't a conference for me to go to for all of Europe. There was one in London, and maybe that speaks to Brexit a little. But political. There isn't one in Australasia. There's one for Wikimedia Australia, and I think some Wikimedians from New Zealand go to that, which is great. And maybe that's good enough. I don't know. And I know this year, for the first time in 5 years, there's going to be a Wiki Conference India. The last one was in 2011. They're going to have one in a couple of months, I think, which is fantastic. And I hope that's repeated and continues to exist.
Right. I guess the CEE is going to be one of the few that is going to try, like, a sort of Central European conference happening relatively soon, right? I don't know, in a few months?
Yes.
Before our conference, October in USA. But
yeah.
No. We had in San Diego, and we said we're so close to the Mexican border, let's get Mexico involved. It's going to be over the Indigenous People's Day, which is formerly known as Columbus Day. So that's a great tie-in there. And then we're going to get the Canadians to come down maybe ahead of Montreal 2017, maybe to give them some experience in conference planning. So that'll be interesting. But to go back to finish up the Wikimania discussion, I think it was nice to see in a room like that the things that we all kind of assumed and had folk knowledge of in terms of why people go to Wikimania to be enunciated by folks. I think one that stood out to me was one fellow who said, you know, I can get done in one trip to Wikimania what would take me like 6 international trips to talk to developers or chapters or people doing things all over the place. If you just think about it, what we see as kind of a, you know, $1 million conference, which is roughly the budget for the whole conference, as being maybe a luxurious use of donor funds, it's actually really efficient if you think about all the ideas and projects and you know, rubbing together of, you know, of ideas here that happen at a Wikimania. And I think it was nice to see people tell their inspirational stories on how Wikimania has helped them in their work and their projects there. What other takeaways from that Wikimania session before we move to others?
So I was mostly there in a listening mode. You know, as chair of Wikimania committee, hopefully we reflect the desires and hopes and dreams and blah, blah, blah of the community at large. And the people who actually turn up to Wikimania, as Derek said, are a filter on that community. People like me are incredibly lucky and fortunate to have, you know, been able to come to every Wikimania. And that's not because I'm amazing and good, it's because I'm lucky. And there were comments about people who make it to Wikimania being 1% of the 1% of the community. You know, community is 250,000 people every year make an edit, make a non-trivial number of edits to a wiki. And yet, only 2,000 at most come to Wikimania each year. But really, there's the kind of the key thing that I took away from that was how energized people are by Wikimania. I mean, I find it exhausting, but also thrilling. I find it pretty enrapturing, in fact, to bathe in the joy and the community drive of all these different people and who have different ideas, some of whom I disagree quite profoundly with on issues, but we're all Wikimedians and we all get along together and find the common good.
Right. Good. Good to hear.
So, there was a very strong sentiment of it's not either Wikimania or regional conference, we can do both. One thing I took away from that discussion was that actually, if we think back to the earlier Wikimanias, those were talking about 500 people per Wikimania. Nowadays, the regional conferences are getting to that size, if not more. So actually, it's not either or. It's let's do both. Let's try to make lots of conferences where people can get together and where we can create the euphoria of Wikimania in many places around the world each year.
Right. And I think the conclusion, obviously, was everyone wanted it every year. And I think the foregone conclusion now is it will keep going on every year. And the committee is going to come up with a public announcement on how this is going to work without the old bidding system, but with more of a proposal system. And for better or for worse, I've been drafted on this committee, so there should be full disclosure. I think there's been another person who's joined the committee. And although this committee has had spurts and starts, it's going to be more active in planning these conferences going forward.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of effort that goes into running Wikimania each year, and that's almost always mostly done by volunteers, by people who are giving up their, not just their weekends, but their evenings and their midnights and their family time to having a successful event. And it's important, I feel, that those of us who can contribute time to supporting them are available and sharing that information and being that kind of advisor, but also making sure that it goes successfully enough that we hear, you know, the results. We hear, I believe the phrase in community engagement is we get the learning patterns back out so that we can help apply them in future to other situations.
Right. So stand by for more information from the Wikimania committee.
Depending on when this podcast drops, it may be ahead or behind the announcement.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
So.
Discussion room. Oh, so actually, let's go back a little bit to the programming. Again, we said 10:30 starts was great. Discussion room.
I think 10:30 starts depend a lot on the local culture and climate as well. I think in Italy, things generally do start a bit later and finish a bit later compared to other places in the same time zone, just for climatic and geographical reasons.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So, yeah. But usually also lunch is after 1 o'clock, while we retain lunch at 12, which kind of sets things off in the morning. I mean, the morning work quite slow, right?
So, yeah, so for me, I would have preferred the 9 to 10:30 slot to also be filled with other discussions that in the end we had this hallway track or is kind of ad hoc, or we just rammed into a discussion. We had a kind of semi-presentation aspects to it.
Right.
I spent a good lot of time hanging out with other engineers, especially developers who are from the volunteer community, who are building cool new things.
Right. And one of the, I guess, criticisms of this year's planning, wow, beautiful waterfall on our left, one of the interesting things was that there was a hard cap this year on how many how many sessions and staff from the Wikimedia Foundation could attend. I personally find that quite problematic in that it was just an arbitrary number, and in fact there was not room for certain types of engineering updates or sessions that really would have helped developers or chapters. So I think that's something that we need to learn from and go back to the drawing board on that, because I think that's a real deficiency. We've spent so much time and effort to get people here. We're really missing an opportunity if we don't have the foundation in a serious way. Now, I completely understand the rationale behind it, in that in the past, people have seen Wikimanias that have been filled with lots of Wikimedia Foundation employees, and there's probably the thinking that, wait, maybe couldn't we have had other types of folks here as well? But I do think this is one of those and or things again. It's like, it should be more people and Foundation, not at the expense of.
So early on in the development of Wikimania, back in 2007, 2008, 2009, the Foundation had a policy, which is that they would try and get all staff to go to the first Wikimania when they'd become staff, and then to roughly every other Wikimania, to make sure that they actually understood the culture of the community and that they could respond intelligently to complaints about the, well, this isn't the Wiki way. And that has kind of dropped away, both because it, you know, as the Foundation's got slightly bigger over time, that's become more and more expensive, but also there has been not unreasonable pushback on the saying, well, hey, this is a community conference. That said, one of the big points that came out of the Future Wikimania session was the need for using Wikimania as an accountability device, a way of holding people like me, who are essentially spending a lot of money on behalf of all the editors, you know, the people who've done the hard work, which is why the donors donate, to explain what we did with that money. And yeah, so we've got the FDC, we've got the annual planning process, but really standing up and talking to someone and saying, well, hey, you spent 5-person years on this, and I don't think this was a good expenditure of money, and I think you need to explain why you thought it was a good thing at the time and what you're going to change so you don't do this in future, or convince me that I'm wrong and that actually this was a great thing to waste your time on. And I didn't have as many of those discussions this year.
Right.
Now, I could pretend that that's because all my decisions were perfect, and that, you know, thanks for the derisive laughter. But really, honestly, it's important to me that I get that feedback, because otherwise I can't do better. You know, I'm just sitting in an echo chamber talking to myself. And although the sound of my voice is mellifluous and lovely, possibly other voices should be part of that mix too.
Right.
So, I think two questions were put out there. One is about how we should organize the tracks. The other is about Foundation staff's participation in Wikimania. The first one is, I think, actually an either-or kind of question, because each Wikimania attendee can only be in one place at one time. And so we do have to arrange our sessions to maximize the value in an either-or situation. But Foundation staff's participation can continue to be high if the Foundation wants to spend money on this accountability device, as we said. And I think much of that effort will be much better spent in the new kind of track system of fewer lectures and more discussions, and to concentrate staff time into participating in discussions where they focus on gathering feedback and accountability from the volunteer community than presenting in a lecture what they have done and what they plan to do in the next year. And I think that would be, from my perspective, that would be a good way forward.
So to cross the streams a little bit,
we've literally just crossed a stream on the bus.
That too, but also, so wearing my staff hat again, as it were, because there was an opportunity for the editing department, of which I'm the product lead, to actually kind of account and present, saying, hey, this is what we did, tell us if we were right. I wrote like a 2,000 word long email, which I sent to Wikimedia L in lieu of a presentation. I don't know whether that was more effective or less effective. I mean, it took about the same amount of time to write a couple of thousand words as to prepare a 15-minute talk and a 30-minute discussion. But I got one meaningful response in, like, actually asking questions about that, which I think at Wikimania I'd have got more from. But it's not about me, it's about, you know, what we do and whether that's valuable. And maybe having prompted people with this podcast, 2,000 people are going to hit my inbox with follow-up questions, so who knows, but hopefully not. Beyond talks about the Foundation, there's a lot of other talks, though. You know, the presentations were shipped as critical issues, which I worry skews the kind of things that people want to talk about in presentations into things where there's some level of urgency or crisis. You know, critical and crisis are very close together in people's minds.
Right.
And There's a lot of things we should talk about, which are celebrations and presentations celebrating things that have happened and understanding each other's cultures. And if all we're doing is talking about, you know, net neutrality, which a lot of people find worrying, or privacy or things like that, although I think those are important, I definitely think we should make space for them. I want us to avoid excluding everyone who wants to talk about what's going on with Wikiversity, what's going on with Wikisource. And mostly that had to take the form of discussions this year. And though those were great, there's a lot of pre-knowledge required to actually walk into that room and have a discussion about how Wikisource is going. And if you're, you know, unsure, or you don't feel like you know what you're talking about, I'm British, so I don't care. But normal people will think, oh, hang on, I don't really know about Wikisource. I don't think I can contribute to a Wikisource expert panel discussion about, you know, where we take Wikisource now.
Right. And that, it's an interesting point that there are really no panels even at this conference. It was either solo or pair talks.
Yep.
There were discussions, but that was a deliberate programming decision for no panels, which... probably more often than not, that's the right situation to have. Like, there can be death by panel where there's nothing really clear, but everyone gets 15 minutes, right? But maybe we need to swing the pendulum back a little bit. Like, sometimes panels are useful.
We also had no posters.
That's right.
Which, I don't know.
Actually, there are posters.
Were there posters?
In the community village, there were some.
Oh, right, yes, as part of the community village.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is no official poster session. There's lots of posters put up in various parts of the venue, and most of them posted in multiple places, and people just look at them while they stroll around the village.
Right, right. And there were no lightning talks this year, which kind of disappointed me, too. But I think maybe what made up for that was the organic meetups or something. But I do like, I mean, I really find lightning talks quite interesting because it gives, you know, they're kind of the hidden gems of our community where it's like, I just spent a weekend making this tool. I'm like, oh my God, that would be so useful for me. Right?
So we sort of have that from the hackathon side. So we now have the hackathon showcase, which this year was on the Saturday, not the Sunday. Which was interesting. It meant that people didn't have quite as long to polish their things, but we got, I think, 27, 28 groups presented in an hour. It's pretty high speed.
Right.
And so one of those things I helped work on, which was getting visual editor on Wikisource. So they can be pretty big, and also can be small and useful, like getting text messages when the new version of the software is deployed to production, that kind of thing. So you're like, oh no, that's small, but that's incredibly valuable to a few people. And the kind of demo and the applause was very nice. But that's in the kind of, you know, for want of a better term, technical ghetto of the hackathon. And there are people who do great work who aren't doing it in technology, or are, but don't see it through that lens. And I want to celebrate their work as well and give them the opportunity to shine.
Right. Yeah, I found that just speed round of the hackathon showcase was really cool, and I found at least three projects that were interesting to me, including support for photospheres in Commons, which is really cool. So this is becoming more and more popular, doing panoramas on your phone and uploading them, and I think Facebook launched this a few weeks ago, which got everyone interested in it, and now we can do it in Commons, hopefully by default and more transparently for folks. Right now you do need to put it into a category and click on a button, but maybe somewhere near in the future you can just load up a Wikipedia article and boom, there's your panorama in the picture, right? So that'll take some time to get up to speed, but it's cool that it can be done today if you wanted to. Other highlights, takeaways from the programming?
Catherine Maher's half-hour lecture plus Q&A was very refreshing. It was, I think, the shortest ED session that we've ever had at Wikimania. It was also a very refreshing perspective because of this new internally promoted ED. She made a very good point about the foundation's direction next year, which is to make our community an open and welcoming place. And through this Wikimania, I really grasped the challenge that is ahead of us. And I think, we do have a big challenge in terms of making online communities more welcoming and more comfortable for contributors in general. And I think it's good that we're moving to make that happen.
There was a kind of an interesting interplay between the slots available and the hike between the venues this year.
Yes.
You know, some of the places were a good 30-minute walk between each other. And so I mean, I was guilty of this definitely, which is I'd say, oh, I'll go to that and that and that and that. And then I got there and was exhausted and burning up with heat and sweat and had an espresso, sat down, and was like, you know what, that discussion is probably interesting, but this one's also good, and I'm here, so I'm coming for this one. And it was kind of fun, but for the next time we have more of a kind of hike between locations, literally in this case, we should probably put in a little bit more margin and padding around the program so that people can more easily, fluidly switch between the two. I know one example where someone was scheduled in one building for the first half hour of a 1.5 hour slot, and then in a different building for the last half hour of the same slot.
Gosh.
And so he had 30 minutes to pack up all his stuff, finish questions, run through up the cobblestones through, you know, this beautiful village and get into the new place, cool down enough to actually start presenting and talking to other people and running a discussion. And that, yeah, maybe could have been a little better. Although, you know, I've run schedules before for the program and it's always a nightmare. There's always someone who can't be in three places at once, but you need them to be. And it's part of the fun.
Yeah, it's... We should also note that it was pretty amazing that every, not every, but most of the sessions were video recorded and were uploaded within the same day, which is quite remarkable.
Massive
given
achievement.
That most Wikimanias were waiting weeks, months, sometimes more than months for that to upload. So they, I think that helps to have that gigantic volunteer corps. So we actually had a lot of, you know, volunteers helping in the camera department. I think they probably might have even gotten like people who work on AV crews in high schools to work on it, because it was really well done for the AV.
Yeah, as I understood it, one of the sponsors this year was a certain German national airline, and the a prize for being a volunteer was to be entered into a raffle, and the winner of the raffle got a couple of tickets anywhere in Europe, which is, you know, a good way of motivating people. And I was really appreciated how much the volunteers put in. They were really great,
yeah.
You know, all of them. And a lot of them, you know, English clearly wasn't their first language, but they worked really hard, and I thought it was remarkable.
Yeah. So that did help mitigate the problem of, oh my God, how am I going to go over there? It's so hot. But, oh, it's video recorded, so I'll just watch it tomorrow or even this afternoon. So that helped. And incredible that we sometimes at Wikimania complain about, oh, there's no coffee. Where's the coffee? Oh my God, was there coffee at this place? It was espresso machines, not one, not two, sometimes like four espresso machines in one room. There was a chocolate company that was a sponsor.
Yeah.
Was it Vanini?
Yeah.
So. Which is like amazingly good chocolate.
I'm going to have to add a new rule to Wikimania. If you want to host next year, you have to have a chocolate company as a sponsor. I'm sorry, it's a new rule.
Yes, because people were not... I mean, I think it was just probably confirmation bias. I didn't see as many people droopy-eyed at this conference because you had cappuccinos and espressos and dark chocolate everywhere.
Yes, and their blood pressure was high and their, you know, pulse was up because they just hiked up a mountain to get to
that. That's true. You can't lazily stroll anywhere in this town. You've got to hike.
Yeah, you didn't see those people because they fell asleep halfway up. Didn't make it.
Yeah, this kept you awake.
And also, back to the volunteer point, the volunteer team in this Wikimania was amazing. I think partly it was because I have organized the volunteer team back in 2013 for Wikimania. I really understood what young volunteers wanted out of a conference. So in return, I basically decided to talk to volunteers as much as possible and use their help and also build friendships with them. And it was a very enjoyable experience because basically when I needed anything, I just talked to a young volunteer and I got wherever I wanted. They walked 15 minutes with me to the opposite side of town and helped me get to a place where I wanted. And I even found some young volunteers volunteers who want to get into my industry, and I'll help them do university applications and that sort of stuff in the future. It's all great. We're rebuilding a community by this Wikimania, and as a Wikimania attendee, I really got the maximum value out of having local volunteers who took care of me really well and helped me navigate a place and learn about local culture and geography.
Right. So don't keep it a secret. What did you learn from the volunteers? Like, what did they want out of it? So this might be useful for future Wikimania organizers.
What did they want out of it? They want to have a lot of time in which they can spend and talk with attendees to learn about the stories of the overseas or traveling attendees,
right,
so that they can learn about what is happening around Wikimedia world, because they're stationed in a place and so they can't attend as many the lectures as they choose to go to. So it's very good to talk to them and tell them what I've been doing for both Wikimedia and beyond Wikimedia, and where there are there happens to be matches of interest, we'll talk more in that sense and we'll connect and we'll keep that contact so that we can do more collaboration in the future. In terms of culture, I've joined two guided tours where I learned about the history of Como region and Ezino, and I also learned about local tapestry, sculptures, how the churches are run. I even attended the mass and procession on Sunday as a practicing Christian myself to learn about like rural Italian church culture, and it was a really rewarding experience for me, and I was very glad that in the process of my using the volunteers to give me a pleasurable travel experience, they also got a lot out of this and learned a lot.
Right. Speaking of local, I mean, one of the cool things was just so much interesting food, not just the chocolate nook, but they had cheese companies come by, they had cured meats, they had local delicacies. They had this thing called shot, which is like a fried cheese ball that was real local to the region.
Yes.
We even like looked it up on Wikipedia. It's like not even much in Italian about shot. It seems to be very regional.
It is from a region that's between the Lake of Como and Switzerland, which is a very isolated mountain region.
Right.
But there's a lot of good food, but it's really, really isolated historically. So you can't find that anywhere in Italy but here. So,
well, I've got some good news. I think Commons now has quite a lot of media about shots.
Oh, I guess so, yes.
So we should go write some articles.
I think, Ryan Kadari and I took about 20 pictures of shot making, shot eating, shot frying. That's going to be a pretty well built out article soon. Yeah, you can tell where Wikipedians go when you have gigantic articles about random fringe things, right? So, but it seems like also, it seems like the food here didn't have a lot of spices, but it was really fresh. It smoked, it cured. So the cheese wasn't very strong in taste, but it was really nice and delicate. So it was really interesting. So they really did, you know, bring in a lot of these local. Well, a fixture there was the two beer stands that were there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Well, and also the liquid nitrogen created cocktails that foamed and frothed and, you know, blown through and, really going to town, on having fun. And it was really charming.
Yeah.
But in terms of the more traditional delicacies, we also really enjoyed having complimentary alcohol with our lunch and dinner. And also for breakfast, because we are split among so many eateries for our breakfast, lunch and dinner, we really got to try different food, and a lot of it was homemade. So for example, in the B&B where I had all my breakfast, all the jam was homemade and all the cake was homemade.
Wow.
So and of course they also served us espresso that they've brewed themselves. So it was just a really enjoyable experience, really connecting with local culture and doing things as they do, and just experiencing the place.
Nice. And then the last night, great weather pretty much the whole time. So the last night,
yeah,
where it was like the entire heavens opened up to the point where we had small hail, and then medium hail, and it was pretty intense.
Yes, it was, you know, awesome, as in awe-inspiring, as in good heavens, could they really have that much rain all at once? And then hail, you know, handfuls of ice chips in the middle of summer at the top of a mountain is an interesting place to be.
Yeah.
It was... It added a little to the fun of the evening. You know, we were basically shelter-in-place kind of requirements.
Yeah, poor us. Oh, no, we're stuck in a tent with, like, about 20 pounds of chocolate. I wonder what we'll have to do now.
No, not 20 pounds. It was about 10 pounds, right? Right, by the end, certainly.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. Other things from Wikimania, takeaways, marching bands, local leaders giving speeches. Community Village is a little bit weird. The Community Village is in a weird space this year. There seem to be some turf wars about expanding people's spaces there, but we had the Community Village.
Yeah, one of the fun things on the program that wasn't for me, and I regret it a little bit, was a kind of Wikimania safari, where in Italian they would take you locals round Wikimania and point at people and say, this is Lodwijk. He's from the Netherlands. He founded this, you know. Like, and you know, you say it in Italian, so of course the rest of us are mostly oblivious. And
we were zoo animals, basically.
We were the zoo animals, yeah. I'm the Bengal tiger, you know. Soon to be extinct.
We kid you not. I'm serious. There were teens taking folks around who are locals, and we were the exhibit.
Oh, and there was the little train that drove around, so people would wave at us and we'd wave back. And that really made me feel like I was a lion inside this
safari. I was wondering why people were riding around the train going, oh, wow, look at that. Look, those are Wikipedians. They're sweaty, but they do a lot of work.
Yes. You know? So what's the equivalent of throwing red meat chunks at the tigers for us? It's like SIM cards, articles, something like that.
Here's a reference book. Go for it. You know.
I thought it was chocolate.
Or chocolate.
Espresso.
Or shot. Here's something to eat. It's not in Wikipedia. Go document it. Right? Basically. Yeah, that was really interesting. Now it all makes sense. We were just one big zoo exhibit.
Yes.
It's like some kind of Twilight Zone episode where you realize you were the exhibit. You weren't the attendee. Right. Other things at the conference.
Sorry, I've got mental images now of Catherine being Charlton Heston saying, damn you all to hell.
No, or...
it was Earth all along.
Actually, in a sense, that also ties in with the sense of volunteers really wanting to get to know us. It's because we are sort of an exhibit for them to interface with.
Right.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Wow. Actually, I think that for young people from these villages and the mountains, the occasion of meeting people from 60 different countries.
Right, that's true.
And the diverse community in some ways, right? People that they would never have a chance to meet for a long part of their lives.
Right.
It was a really an extraordinary experience, so they were so excited because of that. I mean, people living in a big city usually are used to diversity, to people coming from all around the world.
Right.
But these people here in a very small and isolated community, they're not used to that, and that was really an occasion for them to know more of the world, just interacting with us.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. They'll never see that diverse of a set of folks go through that village again. Even if they have a conference, it'll be like Italians or another ethnicity, not that mix of folks, right?
Maybe all will change because we have rebuilt Erzino for them.
It'd be interesting to come back to this town in 20 years and see if there's any lasting effects of this, right?
Yeah.
Or if anyone who was a teenager during this time got inspired to do something from this conference, like be a museum curator or be a professor or something, that'd be pretty fascinating to see. All right, documentary idea number one is to come back here and see what happens, right?
By the way, about the zoo metaphor, do you know that there were two crews doing documentaries?
Yes, that's right. I'm not sure what the product was going to look like, but...
I don't know. I know they were recording the session Ask a Wikimedia Developer, where I was on stage, let's say.
Right.
And both left after like 15 minutes, and they told me afterwards, okay, you just sounded like saying nonsense garbage, so we went away. I hope it wasn't the same with the other sessions, but...
I think I remember seeing them record the majority of the showcase, the hackathon showcase. Mm-hmm. So I think there might be... something usable from there. Like, at least they recorded some of the technical stuff. But you're right, I'm not sure how they're going to cut this together into something coherent, given that every other word out of our mouths were like acronyms or code review.
Of course, gabbled really fast and in, you know, excited English slang. It's not exactly the best documentary footage you'll
That's
get.
That's true. That's true.
Although they make documentaries about, like, baseball and things like that, where it seems like every word is slang and they're gabbled fast. And people still find those interesting, so I look forward to seeing the product at the end.
Yeah, I hope they put it up somewhere we can easily see and find out what they did. Anything else? Last-minute thoughts on Wikimania?
You know, every time we have Wikimania in a hot place, I say, ugh, next year we need to do it somewhere cold, and we don't. So I think I just hate myself, really. But
Southern Hemisphere.
Whisper it quietly. There is a suggestion to do it in the Southern Hemisphere, and there's a different suggestion to do it in Sweden, in a relatively cold place, although not cold enough that you could ski in the summer, so that doesn't count.
But Zermatt.
Yeah, well, we're near Chavinia right now, but hey, never mind. Wikimania is always fun. And this year has been no exception. And it's brought its own flavor to the party. And I've really enjoyed it.
It's been a great party, I agree. And yeah, if you haven't been to Wikimania, definitely come next year.
So next year is Montreal, Canada, or yeah. Quebec.
Yes, it's the 375th anniversary of the founding of the city. So there's a big kind of party in the city for the year, and we're going to be part of their festivities, which is interesting to be part of a bigger piece rather than be the big piece in part of a small town, which we were this year. So I think it's, you know, interesting balance and contrast.
Yeah, and it's, believe it or not, even after all these years, it's the first time it's going to be in a Francophone environment.
Yes,
right?
Lucky 13, that's French for you.
But it's interesting because it's been in two Chinese-speaking countries or Chinese regions before it's been in one Francophone region, which is interesting to see.
Yeah, once we've done French, the only remaining UN6 language we'll not have done it in is Russian. And given, you know, political situations, it's possible Russian may take a little bit longer.
Yes, yes. So Montreal, I believe it's the second week of August. 9th through 11th or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Around that time frame. August 9th through 11th. And yeah, that's going to be our next conference.
Hope to see as many of you there as possible.
That's right. All right, so signing off, we're down in the flats, or flatter parts of Italy now.
Back to a mainstream civilization.
I'm going to miss the cheese. What are you going to miss about Esino?
Esino.
The pizza was very good.
Was good.
Even if it was Northern Italian, not Roman.
What am I going to miss? I'm going to miss the really nice climate up in the mountains where you've got very fresh air and a big temperature difference during the day so that you can be comfortable just by doing the right things. And also, I think I'll miss local homemade food.
Great. All right, so signing off from Esino Lario. We're actually on the road from Esino to Linate Airport in Milan. That's it.
Bye.
Weekly.
Ciao.
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 Grazie mille.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.